In the last episode, I talked about what work ethic is and why it's important. In this episode, I want to talk about some ways to instill work ethic into our kids. Welcome to the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to nine, and 27-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling, The 4-Hour School Day, How You and Your Kids Can Thrive in the Homeschool Life, and Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, a devotional that I wrote specifically for homeschool moms. You can find all three of those books at my website, dorendawilson.com. You can find them at Amazon. And you can find the 4-Hour School Day at any of your favorite booksellers in addition to the places that I mentioned. Don't forget about the upcoming Midwest Parent Educators Conference happening March 31st to April 1st. I will be there and I would love to meet you if that's a possibility for you. I will leave a link in the show notes so you can maybe meet me there. Also, if you have not checked out my online mentoring course, I have a series of videos in this online course that really show more in depth and detail what it looked like for us as we took a more simple, unhurried approach to homeschooling. And I talk about from very young, little preschoolers, all the way through high school and what that looked like for us. So I would encourage you to check that out if that's something you're wanting. You can go to theunhurriedhomeschooler.thinkific.com and I will leave a link in the show notes for you so that to make it easy for you to get there. All right. Lastly, I'm just wondering if you have tried CTC math yet with your child. Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, I'm absolutely thrilled with the CTC math. It is a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 kids using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you're doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. So moms, if you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com, and I will leave a link in the show notes. All right, so I mentioned before in the last episode, I covered what work ethic is and why it's important. Of course, none of my episodes are like a vast, you know, coverage, exhaustive coverage of the topic, just sharing my experience and what I've learned. So I talked about what it is and why it's important. And today I want to talk about ways to instill it because this can be really challenging. I think especially in this particular climate in our culture, it's like children are the kings of the household. And heaven forbid that we should ask them to do anything. I'm not saying they're saying that. I'm saying other people are very critical, can be very critical about asking our kids to do anything. I've heard some of the most rude responses and just, I'm thinking to myself, okay, if this is how you're raising your child, let's talk again in about 15 years and tell me if you think the results were good. Because I'm telling you, it is absolutely essential that our kids are shouldered with responsibility. And I think that's really my first encouragement is to start shouldering your kids with responsibility at an early age. So teaching our kids to have a strong work ethic isn't like a, okay, today we're going to learn work ethic. It doesn't work that way. It is weaved throughout our days, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. You can't just teach it. It needs to be actually lived. And like I said, weaved into our lives. And so this is why, you know, starting our kids early with a little bit of responsibility is such a good idea. And then we slowly build. So we build their little, you know, working muscles and their work ethic muscles slowly over time. So you know how when kids are little, babies often want to help. Toddlers want to help you go unload the dishwasher and they want to mimic and model what you're doing.
And I mean, sometimes they just grab the silverware and throw it on the floor, but it's easy enough for us to eventually teach them, oh, put that there, put that there, that there. So we want to encourage that in our kids. My sort of perspective on it at this particular age, they're in the baby and toddler years, is if they can make a mess, they can clean it up. So if they can pull the toys out of the toy box, they can put the toys back in the toy box. They may need our encouragement and our help and our direction and our insistence, but they can do it. And this is just the beginning. We encourage this all along the way. We're cheering them on. We're making it fun and gratifying. I'm going to include an age-appropriate chore list for you. It's just a general idea of what kids can handle at certain ages. It's, of course, no child is the same, and it just depends on the kid. But it helps give you an idea of what they're capable of, because a lot of times they're capable of more than we think they are. We just, you know, they grow and develop, and we don't always necessarily keep up with them realizing, oh, they could be doing this, they could be doing this. And this is why I love little chore lists like this, because it's sort of like, it's like just gives you a little bit of a guide. And this is put out by the Flanders family. So thank you to the Flanders family. They have a website. They have tons of homeschooling information there if you ever want to check them out. But I'm going to include their list in the show notes. Their website is flandersfamily.info. All right, so here are just some examples of some age-appropriate chores for children. So ages 2 to 3, they put the toys in the toy box, like I mentioned, stack books on a shelf. Of course, they may not do the neatest job. We can teach them to do a neater job, but we just get them started on it. They can put dirty clothes in the hamper, throw the trash away, fold washcloths, set the table, fetch diapers and wipes. At, you know, ages 4 and 5, they can feed the pets and wipe up spills. They can straighten their bedroom. They can sort clean silverware, prepare simple snacks, use a handheld vacuum, dry and put away dishes. At ages 6 and 7, they can fold towels and gather trash and empty the dishwasher, match clean socks, rake leaves, make salad. I often would let the kids peel potatoes or carrots. Ages 8 and 9, they can load the dishwasher, change a light bulb, spray off the patio, dust the furniture, scramble eggs, walk the dog, sweep the porches. These are just a few things on these lists. So you start to get the idea of, wow, I never thought about having them do that. So again, that's why I like these kinds of lists. But you get the idea. These are, you know, this is a guide. It's to help us encourage us and inspire us to get our kids working. I think it's really, really important for us to do that. And one of the other things that I used to do was to, if I had a task that needed to be done, I would think of the youngest child that could do it, because I like to save my older kids for the more skilled things. And then as my younger children get older, they can do those things down the road. But you pick the youngest child possible to do a task or a chore. That was really, really helpful, because otherwise I would just end up, giving most or all of the chores or things I needed done to my older kids. And we don't want that. We want a fair distribution of work. So the little ones aren't going to do as much, but they're going to do something and they're going to do what they can. And again, as we're teaching them and training them and showing them how to do these things, they're not going to do them perfectly to start with. So it takes more time to start with, but it is an investment, and this is part of life, but it's also part of their education. There's a lot of, I mentioned this in the last episode, a lot of critical thinking that happens as our kids are organizing and cleaning and doing these things that we've asked them to do, problem solving. So this is all part of their education. And so starting early builds strong character, and it makes working hard much more natural for them. They see it as part of their life because it's always been part of their life, and it's part of the entire family's lives, not just mom and dad or just the older kids. You know, anything can become a habit. Like, we make a habit of brushing our teeth every day. We make a habit of, you know, making our bed every day. These chores, this work, again, needs to be a habit. It needs to be weaved into our everyday life. And that's why I loved our family's simple routine so much, because it blocked out times that were specifically for that. And I knew that, and the kids knew that this block of time, this is what we're purposing to do during this time. And they would want to get their things done as quickly and as possible. I was a big fan of, not just a big fan, I think it's super important. You can't expect what you don't inspect. So I would inspect their chores. And when we do that, the best way to communicate correction in that instance, I believe, is to give a praise and then a correction and then a praise. So we're sandwiching the correction between two praises. So something like, hey, you did such a great job of making your bed. This over here, this corner over here still has toys in it that need to be picked up. So you need to get those taken care of. But oh, wow, you did a really good job stacking the books on your shelf. So it's, you know, two praises for every one criticism. And so our kids will, it will help them learn to embrace and appreciate work and a job well done. We want our kids to grow in their skills, so they need to be obviously corrected, but we want to, again, balance it out with praise. So I'm going to just talk about one thing that we did, specifically our family did, that I think was really, really helpful, besides the things that I've already mentioned. It was, of course, to have chores. Our kids had regular chores, regular chore times, but we also had a list of paid chores. So these were chores that they would get paid to do, but we did not allow them to do those tasks, do any paid jobs, unless they were they had gotten their regular chores done. Because kids always, you know, they want to jump to the thing that's going to give them the most gratification, which is, hey, I get paid to do this. I don't get paid to make my bed, but hey, I get paid to clean out the van. So I'm going to go do that. And I would always ask them, are your regular chores done? And of course, because I was inspecting after specifically, you know, when we had these blocks of chore time, I would leave margin there for me to go and check everybody's work. So I pretty much knew if they had done it or not done it. And, but you know, sometimes I maybe hadn't checked it yet or whatever. So they weren't allowed to do any paying jobs until that had their regular chores had been done. And, you know, the chores were just part of our routine. They were part of our rhythm, just like real life. And so this taught our kids that they don't always have to have a reward. Instilling a strong work ethic teaches our kids resilience by helping them learn to be content with the satisfaction of a job well done and nothing more. Our kids shouldn't have to have praise, although obviously we want to encourage them, right? That's what we're called to do as believers. We're to spur one another on to love and good works. Encouragement is a really important part of being a believer. I treated our kids as fellow believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, not just as my kids. And so I would try to encourage them as much as I can. I look back and think I probably could have done a better job. I feel like I could have done a better job. But you know what? Our kids are adults now, and they have said that that strong work ethic that we instilled in them was one of the best gifts that we ever gave them. They've told us that as adults. Of course, they don't like it at the time. There's a lot of wailing and complaining and, you know, okay, well, if you're going to keep whining, I'm going to give you an extra chore. So yes, you know, I did sometimes use work as consequences. A lot of people are like, well, is that going to make them hate work? Honestly, I just felt like it gave them the opportunity to think while their hands were busy. And it didn't seem to diminish our kids' work ethic. And obviously we need to use discernment. Sometimes you know your kid and you know in this particular situation, if I do this, it's going to mess some things up. So listen to your gut. So I'm not telling you, you know, never to not use work as consequences. I'm saying use your good judgment and just know that you can use it as consequences and it's not necessarily going to diminish their work ethic. I like to tell them, like I said, this is going to give you a chance to think. For an example, a lot of times the boys would pester each other, pester their siblings. And it was usually just a backup of energy. They just have a lot of energy. So I'd have them go stack wood and just burn that energy out. And they actually felt better afterwards. And they did not keep pestering their siblings because there was just this, especially boys, I feel like they just have a lot of energy. And especially in the junior high years and high school years when all the hormones are raging, you got to get them physically working. It is absolutely essential. Don't let them be sedentary. You know, that old adage, idle hands or the devil's workshop. It's like a living Bible translation of a verse in Proverbs, but it's true. If hands are idle, not good things tend to happen. So we want to keep them moving, especially physically, our boys specifically. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, it says, we hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. And this can happen for the girls too. They can be kind of nosing in other people's business or bossing the other kids around because they're not busy enough. And that's really what I would say. Look, you've got energy to cause problems. So you've got energy to go pull some weeds in the garden. So 15 minutes, you need to go out there and pull weeds. And if I went out there and it was clear they hardly did anything, they would get another 15 minutes. They needed to actually work during that time. So I think it's important to not avoid using work as consequences. One of the things that we did like to do was to plan fun things after big projects. You know, so as a family, sometimes we would work in the yard together, or we used to cut firewood and stack it. And that was a lot of work. I mean, the guys would go out to the woods, they'd cut all the stuff up, they'd load it into the pickup, bring it back to the house, and then it would have to go in the, you know, be stacked near the house. And they worked as a team to do all of this. But then afterwards, we would plan something like a bonfire. So, you know, we'd have hot dogs and s'mores, and the kids absolutely loved it. They sat there and they just drank in that simple reward and felt the satisfaction of a job well done. And we could even like say, okay, you guys, look over at that wood. Look at all that wood you guys brought in. Isn't that awesome? It looks so good. It's going to keep us so warm this winter. So we're speaking positively. We're taking time to step back and look at our work and appreciate the fact that it's done and appreciate the satisfaction of a job well done. So we don't always have to have something fun planned, but it can be such great memories for our kids. We would do things like we had a local burger joint that had ice cream, and it was like we didn't go there very much. So it was a treat when we went there. And this is something that I think is super important. We need to simplify when it comes to what we let our kids do. The modern American child is absolutely spoiled rotten. And we thankfully lived way out in the country and we had limitations on what we could do. We didn't live near fast food. We couldn't afford to eat out. We couldn't afford to do a lot of things. So when we did plan something, it was a big deal to our kids. They really, really appreciated it. I think that parents believe that their kids should have more than they actually need. And so if that's kind of been something that's overwhelming for you, I would encourage you to get together with your husband and pray about simplifying, because our kids, it was so wonderful to be able to just go out for inexpensive burgers and ice cream and have them feel like they'd been treated like kings and queens. There was so much more gratitude. You can plan something that the kids have been wanting to do, but you just haven't made the time to do it. A lot of times kids want to do the simplest things. They want to go for a hike, or they want to go visit a certain park, or it's fun to get a list of things from them that they would want to do. So you have something to draw from when you're looking for, you know, just one of those times when you're going to do something fun after hard work. But pick something that's fun for your family. Not every family likes the same things, and you know your family far better than I do. But again, it helps so much and it encourages our kids so much when we do periodically plan something fun after a lot of work. Another thing is just like in the day-to-day, Even in the extra projects, but even in the just the simple day-to-day where they're making their beds and picking up their rooms and all of that, play some fun music. Get a playlist put together of all their favorite songs that get them moving and grooving, you know, that song, Take Out the Papers in the Trash, you know, kids love that kind of stuff. It just got energy to it, makes it fun, and it helps keep them moving. So making it fun, it's another thing right there. I mean, when kids relate positive feelings to work, it's going to be easier to instill a strong work ethic in them. Another thing that we would do is point out good examples. When someone did something, you know, outside of our family or even within our family, and you could see like, oh man, they did this really great job. Like say somebody, a tree pruner comes over to prune your trees. Okay, this is just an example. It's the first thing that came to my mind because I have some trees that need to be pruned and I would love for someone to come prune them. I will pay them. Another topic. Anyway, someone comes and prunes the trees and you have the kids look at the trees before and you have them look at after. Like look at how much order they brought to this tree. And now our tree is going to be so much healthier. And if it's a fruit tree or something like that, it's going to bear healthier fruit and more fruit. And then you can be talking about, you know, you can talk about, you know, how diligence like this pays off and how when we work hard, we often get a reward back. And so pruning the trees is going to give us a harvest that we wouldn't have had if someone hadn't worked hard to get that done. So we're pointing out examples where we're looking to people in history who worked hard, had a strong work ethic. Okay, here's a big one. Parents, set an example. Because here's the thing. How we view work is going to be communicated to our kids by how we model it and how we talk about it. Are we sending negative messages to our kids about work? Are we complaining because we have to fold another load of laundry? Instead, maybe saying something like, oh my goodness, look at these clothes that the Lord has blessed us with. Or look, these clothes were all dirty just a couple hours ago and now they're nice and clean. They're going to smell so good and go back in our drawers and we'll have stuff to wear, you know, just sending negative messages versus positive ones about work. I think just heightening our awareness of that so that we are setting that example. And again, setting that example means actually working hard, actually be that person that you want your kids to be. I remember at one point, one of my daughter-in-laws went over to my daughter's house who has several little children. And my daughter's husband had been working a lot. And so my daughter-in-law had this conversation with the kids and was basically like, oh, does it make you sad that your dad has to work so much? And these kids looked at her and said, no, our daddy works hard. He's working so that we can have food on our table and clothes on our backs, and he's paying for our house. So no, we're glad that he's at work. And they would get to see him later in the day. They were content with that. And the reason was because our daughter had made it very clear to them what their daddy was doing and the worth of what he was doing. And this is a wonderful way to honor our husbands. When we point out to our kids what a hard worker daddy is. He gets up every morning and he goes to work. Let's thank him for that. You know, write little notes that you can leave at his table or at the dinner table or under his pillow, things like that. So again, this is a whole perspective on how we view work. I think it's important for us to have a healthy perspective and we're verbally speaking positively about work. And the other thing that I found very, very helpful was to talk with my kids about their future. So when they're doing a good job, I can say to them, you know what? You are learning to be such a hard worker. And this particular thing that you're doing, someday you're going to be doing this for your own family. So it's so great that you're learning how to do this now and you're doing such a good job because then you can be a blessing to your wife and to your children or to your husband and to your children. And so we're casting a vision for their future as we are working alongside of them. This is another thing that I think is important. We don't always have to work alongside of them, but I think that it is important that we regularly work alongside of them. So they see us working and they see us as jumping in. And we have great conversations. My kids and I used to talk out in the garden together. We'd be out weeding. They did not want to go out there. But I would try to make it as pleasant as I could as we would talk about, so how are you doing? And what do you, you know, talk about their interests, you know, what were you doing earlier today? And what was that? What are you looking forward to tomorrow? Or, you know, just fun conversation that engaged them, made the work go quicker. And again, gave them positive emotions associated with work, not negative ones. So I think it's just, I guess lastly, what I want to encourage you in is just to say this is so worth it, moms and dads. It takes effort, and we do need to be intentional and conscientious about and consciously instill a work ethic in our kids. And, you know, I will say, though, that if you are a hard worker, half the battle is won right there. Because I don't particularly remember setting out to say, setting out to quote unquote build a strong work ethic in our kids. But my husband and I are hard workers. And it was natural for us to not only do it, but then to expect our kids to do it as well. And as we began to do that, we realized there's a lot of value in teaching them a strong work ethic. We need to keep doing this and make sure that we're intentional about it and that we're doing it well. So I hope that was an encouragement to you. Again, not an exhaustive study on ways that you can instill a work ethic in your kids, but hopefully inspirational and challenging. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to instill a strong work ethic in our kids, to give them the ability to have opportunities that they might not otherwise have. Lord, we thank you that as they learn to work hard at home and that is a priority, as it should be throughout their lives, that they will then go out into the world and bring that salt and that light into the world and be a blessing to the people around them, their coworkers, their employers, their friends, as you know, as our kids grow in skills and they can pitch in and help their friends replace a hot water tank or work on a project. And then the blessing that they are to their own spouses and children as they work diligently and as unto you, God. Give us wisdom. Give each parent listening specific wisdom for their specific situation, Lord. And bring back anything to mind that would be particularly helpful for them from this episode. We thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.